to recount Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. And I was also explaining at first why it's important that we delve into Lord Ramchandra's pastimes or Ramayana and Mahabharata. Although Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are actually the essential philosophical crux of the Vedic wisdom. But Ramayana and Mahabharata actually creates the foundation of that. And that's why it's important that we get to know about that. Like the philosophy becomes more real, more alive. The spiritual understanding becomes more profound when we actually understand, and especially for our children. It's important that our children grow up with this culture. When I was young, like, I used to hear Ramayana and Mahabharata, and that's how it became a part of my life, so to say. Like, and nowadays, unfortunately, that culture is disappearing. We are rejecting that culture, and as a result of that, you can see what's happening to this world. Like, in today's world, there's an acute shortage of a role model. People, children especially, do not know who they should look up to. And since there is no one to look up to, they're coming up with all kinds of fictitious heroes, like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, or Harry Potter. But what will be the ultimate outcome of that kind of presentation? And you are seeing the children are growing up not to become upright individuals with noble characters. You know, in today's world, the youth, you can see how degraded they are. And the whole society is becoming so degraded. Why? Because there is no proper spiritual understanding. And as a result of that, people are suffering everywhere. The whole situation of the situation all over the world is becoming extremely precarious. But when we accept the Vedic culture, the Vedic tradition, the Vedic wisdom, then automatically our life becomes so sublime, life becomes so full of joy. So, since many of you are not here yesterday, I'll just give you a brief narration of the descriptions that what I described yesterday. I was describing how Lord Ramchandra appeared, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is an incarnation. He is a Leela Avatar. There are various types of incarnations of the Supreme Lord. There are six specific types of incarnations, and one of them is Leela Avatar. So, Lord Ramchandra falls in the category of Leela Avatar. He is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a Marjada Purushottam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared as a prince, as a son of a very illustrious and extremely illustrious king, Dasarath. He was so powerful that the demigods used to invite him to fight on their behalf against the demons. Indra, when he was fighting against the demons, he requested Dasharatha to fight on his behalf, fight with him. So Dasharatha went to the heavenly planet and he fought against the demons. And in that fight, he was actually such a valiant warrior, so expert, that he was blessed that his chariot could move in all 10 directions. And that is why he got the name Dasharatha. And during that battle, he was very severely injured. And at that time, his youngest wife, Kaikeyi, treated him. And he was so pleased with Kaikeyi that he offered her two boons, that she could ask for any boon, for anything from him. But Kaikeyi's response was that, "You have given me everything, so why do I need anything from you?" But Dasharatha told, "Okay, in future if you ever think of asking for something, then please don't hesitate to let me know, and I'll grant your wish." So in this way we can see that the drama was being set. After all, the Lord's pastimes are like a drama. Pastimes, play. Just as the actors play a drama on a stage, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends with his associates and he plays a drama. And that drama is the Leela, his pastimes. But since he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he does is the absolute truth. There is no falsity in his activity and behavior. Rather, because he is the absolute truth, whatever is related to him also becomes the absolute truth. And Lord Ramchandra came to establish dharma. Krishna said that whenever there is a decline in dharmic principles, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati, Bharata abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamma. Whenever there is a decline in dharmasya glani, whenever there is a decline in religious principles, I come to rectify that situation, to re-establish dharma again. And Lord Ramchandra came to re-establish the dharma. Dharma Saglani was there. There is a terrible demon called Ravan, a Rakshasa king. He actually was creating a lot of disturbance in the society. He became so powerful by the boon of Brahma that he practically became immortal. No one could defeat him, no one could kill him, and he became so powerful. And he was harassing everybody. Even Dasharatha's ancestor, Anaranya, was the king of Ayodhya. He was killed by Ravan in a battle. Ravan came and attacked his kingdom. Anaranya fought valiantly, but Ravan was too powerful for him. And eventually he was killed. And Anaranya, at the time of dying, he actually cursed Ravan that a member of my family, my descendant, will kill you. I curse you that my descendant will kill you. You'll die in the hand of my descendant. And so this is how the stage was set. And Ramchandra came. He was born of Kaushalya. Dasharatha didn't have any children. So he performed a sacrifice, Putreshti Yajna, and in order to perform this sacrifice, and he also conducted an Ashwamedha Yajna, and Rishyashringa, a very exalted saint, was invited to conduct the Yajna. And that's another story, like how Rishi Shringa, who was completely innocent, he didn't know anything, and he was very dear to his father, and his father didn't want to let him go to anywhere. So Rishi Shringa was brought, and he was asked to conduct that sacrifice, and when the sacrifice was completed, then from the sacrificial fire a divine personality appeared, and he appeared with a bowl of sweet rice, and he gave it to King Dasharatha and told him, offer this to your queens, and as a result of that they will get their children. So Dasharatha took the first part and offered it to his, half of it was offered to his principal queen Kaushalya. Then one half was given to Kaikeyi. The first half was given to Kaushalya. Then whatever was left, it was given to Kaikeyi. The one half was given to Kaikeyi. And then the remaining portion was given to Sumitra. And then still there was something left, so that was also offered to Sumitra. So as a result of that, Kaikeyi got one son, that is Ram. Kaushalya got one son, Ram. Kaikeyi got one son, Bharat. And Sumitra got two sons, Lakshman and Shatrughna. And Lakshman was extremely attached to Ram, and Shatrughna was extremely attached to Bharat. So who are these personalities? These personalities are the Chaturbhuha from the spiritual sky. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Vasudev appeared as Lord Ram. Shankarshan appeared as Lakshman. Bharat was Aniruddha, and Shatrughna was Pradyumna. So these are the four Chaturbhuhas that came from the spiritual sky. And Ram, when Ram was about 16 years old, not quite 16, 15 years some months, one day Vishwamitra came and asked King Dasharatha. He actually appeared in the court of Dasharatha. Dasharatha was extremely excited to receive Vishwamitra. He was a very, very exalted, illustrious sage. So Dasharatha knew about him. So when he saw that Vishwamitra arrived in his court, he was extremely happy. And he told Vishwamitra, please allow me to render some service to you. Please tell me, what can I do for you? So Vishwamitra then told that, you see, I am preparing to perform a sacrifice. But whenever I start the sacrifice, these two terrible demons, Rakshasas, Marichi and Subahu, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal Ki Jai. So these demons are causing a lot of disturbance, because whenever I start my sacrifice, they spoil it by throwing all kinds of contaminated stuffs, impure stuffs, to contaminate the sacrifice. And these two are extremely powerful rakshasas. So although I can kill them, but since I am initiated to perform the sacrifice, I have to give up anger. So that's why I cannot do anything to them. And I could curse them and vanquish them, but I can't do that. So then Dasharatha said, fine, I will come and kill them. Then Vishwamitra said, no, I actually need Ram to do that. So Ram at that time was just 15 years old. So Dasharatha was extremely perturbed. And how can this little boy fight with such terrible demons, who are actually two accomplices of Ravana? Ravana is invincible, and these are Ravana's two most powerful associates. So these Rakshasas, and they fight in such a treacherous way. How my Ram, 16-year-old boy, is going to fight with them, who didn't even reach his manhood, and he is not properly trained in warfare as yet. So Vishwamitra said, no, I want him. Dasharatha started to plead, please don't ask for anything else. I myself will go with my army, guard the whole area and take care of the demons until your sacrifice is complete. But please don't ask Ram, ask me to offer, give Ram to you to do that job. Because if Ram dies, then not only I will die with him, then our whole kingdom will practically perish. So Vishwamitra, who was known for his anger, Vishwamitra controlled his anger, but he told, look, you made your commitment that you are going to offer your son to me. You will fulfill anything that I ask from you. Now that I am asking from you something, you are not offering to me. So anyway, I'll leave. And mind you, what will happen as a result of that, the entire glory of your dynasty is going to be lost. All your piety will be lost. Because you have said something and didn't fulfill that promise. Still Dasharatha was saying, please, please, not Ram, ask for anything else. So in this way, when Vishwamitra became very angry, and he was just about to leave, and at that time, Vasishtha, Dasharatha's spiritual master, Kula Guru, Vasishtha pacified Dasharatha. He said, look, Vishwamitra is the most powerful personality, most powerful sage. When he is asking, there must be a purpose behind it. He can wipe out all the Rakshasas by his spiritual potency. So you can rest assured that Ram will be protected by him. And besides that, do you know who this Ram is? This Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So who can harm him? So when Vasishtha advised Dasharatha in that way, Dasharatha let him go. But still his heart was afflicted. Heart was perturbed. So then Vishwamitra took Ram, and Lakshman also went with him. They walked through the day. In the evening they came to the river bank, Saraju, and he told Ram to go take a bath in the river and come back. So he gave him all the celestial mantras with the celestial weapons. Vishwamitra had in his possession all the celestial weapons, so he gave them to Ram. And he instructed Ram on the transcendental subject matter, although he knew, Vishwamitra knew that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way he is actually playing in the drama that has been organized by Yogamaya. So then the next morning they started their journey again, and on the way they encountered a terrible demoness, Taraka. And Vishwamitra, when Taraka was coming, assuming a huge form, so at that time Vishwamitra advised Ram what to do, and Ram released the weapon, the arrow that hit Taraka and killed her. Now here's also one interesting thing to note, that when Ramchandra came and started to kill the demons to establish dharma, the first one that he killed was a woman, Taraka. Similarly, Krishna also And the first one he killed was Putana. And anyway, so then they came to Vishwamitra's ashram, Siddhashram, and Vishwamitra, Ramchandra, seeing that beautiful place, he asked, "Oh, it's such a wonderful place. And just from a distance I can see its beauty and its inconceivably profound atmosphere." And then Ramchandra, Vishwamitra told Ram about this place. This place was actually the abode of Vamandev when he came to cheat Bali Maharaj. Chalayashi Vikramane Bali Malputa Vamana. And he told him that that's why this place is so special, and that's why this place is so sanctified, and that's why he was performing the sacrifice there. And so then the next day he took the vow or initiation of into the sacrifice. The sacrifice was to be conducted for 6 days, and Ram and Lakshman were guarding the arena, sacrificial arena. For these 6 days, Vishwamitra took the vow of total silence, and Ram and Lakshman were guarding the place like the eyelids guard the eyes. And 5 days went by, there was no disturbance. So on the sixth day, in the morning, Ram said, "Look, today is the final day. These demons are going to come today to attack. So be prepared, Lakshman." And true to his words, soon these terrible demons came. Marichi and Subahu, accompanied by their associates, the terrible Rakshasas. And they were throwing blood and urine and stool and flesh and bones and all kinds of dirty things that one can think of. So when they came to desecrate the sacrificial arena, then Ram picked the arrow, the weapon, that is called Manavastra, and he hit Marichi with that Manavastra. Marichi was totally unaware. He never expected such an encounter. And he was gleefully trying to spoil the sacrifice. And all of a sudden he was hit by this arrow. Now the nice thing about the Manavastra was that this arrow, he hits the person but doesn't kill him. As a result of that, Marichi was carried for 100 yojanas, that means 800 miles, and he was landed in the middle of the ocean, unconscious. And this Marichi is the one who later on went to, that Ravan went to him and asked him to help him to steal Sita. And this Marichi actually assumed the form of a golden deer. Marichi was a wizard. He was very expert in magic. I mean, all the Rakshasas are very expert in magic, and he was an expert among the Rakshasas. So one can well imagine how skillful he was in his treacherous dealings. And then Subahu was hit by Agnayastra. Agnayastra is not as merciful as a Manavastra. Manavastra didn't kill Marichi, but Agnayastra sent Subahu to the abode of Jamaraj. And all the other Rakshasas were taken care of by the Vayavastra. And so this way the whole sacrifice, all the Rakshasas were killed, and the sacrifice was successfully performed by Vishwamitra. He was very pleased. After the sacrifice, he came out and embraced Ram and blessed him. And then he took Ram. He told that, come, I'll take you to a very interesting place. And he took him to the court of Janak, to Mithila. And so Janak was very excited that Vishwamitra has come to his court. He was such an exalted personality that all the kings considered themselves to be extremely fortunate whenever they came to them. And so Vishwamitra was Janak was very pleased to receive Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra introduced Ram and Lakshman to him and said that these are two illustrious personalities, the sons of Dasharatha from the Ikshvaku dynasty. And he so Janak greeted them and treated them with maximum, with all the honor and respect. His all the sages, in those who are associated to King Janak, they also came and greeted Vishwamitra. The next morning, Janak asked Vishwamitra that, I can understand that you must have come to create some good fortune for me. So tell me, how can I serve you? And tell me what is the purpose why you came. So then Vishwamitra told that you have the bow of Lord Shiva, Haradhanu. And these two brothers, the greatest of archers. So they would very much like to see that bow of Lord Shiva. And then Janak explained, yes, I have that. After when Daksha insulted Lord Shiva, then Shiva became very, very annoyed, very upset. And because the demigods sided with Daksha because of their fear for Daksha, so Lord Shiva appeared in their assembly with this bow, and he told that, now I'm going to behead your crowned heads from your body with my bow and arrow. So demigods became afraid and they fell at the feet of Lord Shiva. And at that time, Lord Shiva, who is very quickly angered and at the same time is very quickly pacified. Therefore, another name of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He's very quickly pacified. So as soon as the demigods fell at his feet and begged forgiveness, Lord Shiva became pacified. And then he gave this bow to, Janak mentioned, to my ancestor, Nimi. And in this line, many illustrious personalities have appeared. And they had been worshipping this bow since a long, long time. This is our family tradition, to worship this bow as a blessing of Lord Shiva. And then Janak described that when he was performing a sacrifice, he was plowing the land to prepare the land for sacrifice. And at that time, while he was plowing the land, he found a very beautiful looking girl, a little baby girl, So he took that girl and offered it to his wife, who did not have any children. So she brought up this girl as her own little child. And because she appeared from the tip of a plow, in Sanskrit that is called Sita, she was named as Sita. From a countenance and behavior, Janak could understand that this is Lakshmi Devi herself. That's why, in order to find a match for her, an appropriate match for her, that means Lakshmi Devi can be married only to Narayan. So he decided, he made a condition that anyone who would be able to string the bow of Lord Shiva will be able to marry Sita. Because no ordinary person would otherwise be able to even lift the bow of Lord Shiva. And that is what happened. Like many kings, many princes have come, but no one could lift that bow. What to speak of stringing it? And being insulted in this way, they even attacked Janak's kingdom, Mithila. Yeah, Janak also described the reason behind the name of his capital as Mithila. There was an illustrious king, Nimi's son was Mithi. So Mithi was the first one to rule over Ayodhya. And after him, the kingdom was named as Mithila. So he made a condition that only if one can string the bow of Lord Shiva would be able to marry Sita. And no one could succeed. And they attacked his kingdom. They all got together feeling that they have been insulted, and to take revenge they jointly seized his capital and attacked. And at that time Janak performed some austerity, and as a result of that the demigods came to side with him, and they defeated all those kings and drove them away. So in this way Janak told about the history of Sita and the condition of finding an appropriate husband for Sita. Vishwamitra didn't say anything about Ram's being the suitable match for Sita. He just said that I brought them to show, because they are some very, very expert archers, the best of the archers that I have seen. So that's why I thought that it would be exciting for them to see the bow of Lord Shiva. So then Janak made the arrangement to bring that bow to his court. The bow was placed on a cart. It was so heavy, and so like 5,000 people had to pull the cart to bring the bow into the court. And then Ram was asked to come to the and see the bow. So Ram opened the casket, the box in which the bow was kept, a beautifully ornate box studded with most precious gems. And then he asked Vishwamitra, "May I touch it?" Vishwamitra said, "Yes, you may." So Ram just touched the bow with his left hand. He picked it up. Just the sight of it caused such excitement that everybody started to rejoice. And then Ram just stood it straight, and he bent it with his right hand, and then put the string on it. Then he picked it up, and as he pulled the string, the bow broke with such a tremendous sound that all the people assembled there excepting Vishwamitra and Janak, Ram and Lakshman. Excepting these four, everyone fainted just hearing the sound of it. So Vishwamitra was Janak was amazed. He said that it's the most wonderful sight that Lord Shiva's bow not only had been lifted and strung, but it was broken. So indeed, he is the suitable match for my daughter Sita. And Sita is indeed fortunate to find a husband like him. So Janak immediately sent a messenger to Dasarath with the news and requested him to come. So he wrote about the whole incident and how excited he is that now he found Ram as his son-in-law. Dasarath also was extremely excited to receive that news, and he immediately started for Mithila. And before leaving for Mithila, he told his treasurers to collect all the precious gems and jewels and all the valuable assets that he had in his treasury to be carried as a gift to Janak. This was the custom among the kings. When a king went to meet another king, he would take with him the most an inconceivable amount of wealth to offer to him. And here he was going to meet his brother-in-law, like his now Ram's father-in-law. And so in due course of time, the wedding, Ram's wedding was arranged. After that, Vishwamitra left for his hermitage. And Janak bade them farewell, blessing his daughter with tearful eyes. And Dasarath with Ram was coming back with Sita. And Dasarath had another daughter called Urmila, and she was given to Lakshman in marriage. So Ram got married to Sita, Lakshman got married to Urmila, and they were returning to Ayodhya. Then all of a sudden, they saw that the distant horizon appeared as if the dust, heavy dust, started to fly in the air. And the birds started to cry, making all kinds of inauspicious signs. So he asked Vasishtha, Dasarath, that what does it indicate? Why? What is going to happen? Please tell me. It seems that some inauspicious thing is going to happen. So Vasishtha said, yes, that's true. The way all the signs are, it indicates that some very, very undesirable thing is going to happen. But the good thing is that, see, the animals are moving in the right direction. Their production. So that means that although it is an inauspicious occasion, but no harm will come out of it. Ultimately, everything will end in a proper way. So then from the cloud of dust emerged an extremely fierce looking personality. He was dressed as an ascetic. His hair was matted like Lord Shiva's. His eyes were burning red like copper. And he had a bow in his hand. And he just came straight to Ram. He said, I heard that the whole world is now, I could hear that the whole world is now singing your glory. You broke the bow of Lord Shiva. Just seeing Parashuram, Dasarath became extremely alarmed. because he knew who this personality was, who considered himself to the arch enemy to all the Kshatriyas. He already wiped out all the Kshatriyas from the surface of the earth for 21 times. And now this personality is standing in front of him, expressing his anger towards Ram. Dasharath became extremely worried. He started to plead that you have taken a vow, you told Indra that you are not going to harm the Kshatriyas anymore. You have performed the tarpan, the Shraddha ceremony of your father after wiping out the Kshatriyas for 21 times and creating a lake with the blood of all the Kshatriyas. So that is how you have revenged your father's death, who was killed by a Kshatriya, Kartaveja Arjuna. And you took your revenge, and since you have performed the tarpan of your father, you are not supposed to harm the Kshatriyas anymore. You took a vow. So please spare my son. Please don't take any offense on his behalf. But Parshuram did not pay any heed to him. He just confronted Ram. And he started to express his anger towards Ram for his act. And he said, now you take my bow. You have broken the bow of Lord Shiva. You take my bow. Let's see how you can string this one. If you can, then I will consider you to be a worthy opponent of me, and then I'll fight with you. And then he told the history. Vishwakarma made two bows at the same time. One was given to Lord Shiva, and the other one was given to Lord Narayan. And the one that was given to Lord Shiva was in the custody of Janak. And the other one, that was Narayan's bow, that was in the custody of Jamadagni and his ancestors. And that is Parshuram's father and his ancestors. So that, he said, now this is the bow. Parshuram was angry, but the way he was speaking, Ram also became angry. So Ram, he said, okay. Since you are so proudly making this challenge, I'll accept your challenge. Give me your bow. He took the bow and he strung the bow. And something unusual happened at that time to Parshuram. Parshuram felt that now he has been deprived of all the power, all the strength that he had. There was no strength left in him. And with a bent head, accepting defeat, he walked away from there to Mahendra Mountain, where he used to reside. Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Parashuram is an empowered incarnation. Parashuram, although is an incarnation, but he was a Shaktavesh avatar. He was not Vishnu Tattva. He was Jiva Tattva, a living entity who had been empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to accomplish something. So now when Lord Ramchandra took the bow from him, he also took the power with which he had empowered him. And that is why Parashuram left, and Parashuram became deprived or devoid of his strength. It has been described that Ramchandra was so angry at that time that it took him some time to become normal. His body was trembling out of anger. As if an inconceivable heat and light was coming out of his body. And he was trembling. So Dashara pacified, Vasishtha pacified him, said, "Look, you just stay here for a while." And then when Ramchandra's anger subsided, then only they all started their journey back to Mathura, back to Ayodhya. So then Ramchandra comes to Ayodhya with his father and newly married wife Sita, with his brother and his wife. The whole city of Ayodhya was in bliss. No one was more happy than Dasarath, who was so attached to his son. But then Dasarath decided to coronate Ramchandra as the successor to the kingdom, as the crown prince, which was a natural thing to happen, because the custom in the Vedic culture is that the eldest son inherits the father's property. So Ram was the natural successor to the throne, and Dasarath was arranging for Ram to be coronated. But then something happened. Personally, I find that is the most painful part of Ramayana, and it's the most difficult part also to even go through. Like, I find that part of Ramayana even difficult to read, like what actually happened at that time. In one hand we see such a wonderful celebration, such wonderful preparation for an amazing festivity. Everyone is so excited, so happy, as if they are all submerged in an ocean of bliss. Then from there emerges a character, Manthara, the hunchback maidservant of Kaikeyi. And Manthara tells Kaikeyi, "Why are you so happy?" He said, "Well, Ram is getting coronated. It's a shame. Ram is getting coronated and you are expressing your happiness. You do not know what you are inviting to." And then she started to vitiate the mind of Kaikeyi, making her understand that if Ram becomes the prince, then she will lose all her importance. Everybody will be then glorifying Kaushalya. Kaikeyi will become nobody. And in this way she started to vitiate her mind. Then Kaikeyi also started to get affected by this treacherous counseling of Manthara. Manthara was not only crooked by her form, she was also even more crooked in her mind. And so Manthara then convinced Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi asked, "What can I do then?" He said, "Do you remember that you had these two boons that Dasarath gave you? You didn't accept those boons at that time. But Dasarath assured you that whenever you want, you could ask for that. So now is the time to ask for that boon." And so he said, she said, "The first one, you asked that Bharat would become the king. And the second one, Ram should go to forest for 14 years. So Kaikeyi, being instructed by her spiritual mistress, took off all her ornaments and with disheveled hair, she was lying on the floor. Dasarath just came and found her in that condition. Asked Kaikeyi, "What happened?" Kaikeyi wouldn't say anything. Then when Dasarath just kept on insisting, "Come on, tell me what happened." in such an occasion, why are you expressing your grief? Tell me. What can I do for you to soothe your mind? Then Kaikeyi released those two deadly arrows towards Dashrath. Let Bharat become the king and let Ram go to the forest for 14 years. Dashrath couldn't believe his ears that Kaikeyi could say such thing, because he saw that Kaikeyi had such affection for Ram. Kaikeyi did not consider Ram to be different from Bharat, her own son. Sometimes it seemed that Kaikeyi was even more attached to Ram, and that Kaikeyi is behaving like this today. When Dasarath realized that Kaikeyi was serious, Dasarath just fainted. After a long time, he regained his consciousness. When he opened his eyes, he asked Kaikeyi, "Kaikeyi, you don't mean that?" Then Kaikeyi said, "No, I do mean that. What I asked is real." And Dasarath still could not accept that. Then Kaikeyi encountered Ram, called Ram, and told about the whole incident, what actually happened. Ram said, "Fine, your will be done. Your wish will be fulfilled. Bharat will become the king, I'll go to the forest." And then Kaikeyi made all kinds of conditions, and Ram accepted all those conditions. Then Ram went and told his mother Kaushalya. Kaushalya was so happy just to see Ram. She just came and embraced her son. Ram told mother, "This is not the time to rejoice. Something very, very unfortunate is about to happen." When the news spread, everyone tried to advise Kaushalya. I'm sorry, Kaikeyi. Vasishtha even advised. He said that, "Look, you know what it may mean? It may mean that you will become a widow. Because if Ram leaves, then Dasarath will not be able to bear that pain. He will die. And you are inviting the greatest misfortune upon yourself. For a woman to become a widow is the greatest misfortune. So, you are inviting it upon yourself. And consider Ram. He's such a noble person. Why are you creating this animosity towards him, who treated you like his own mother?" But Kaikeyi wouldn't listen to any advice. Unfortunately, at that time, Bharat was not there. Bharat was in his maternal uncle's house. Anyway, then the inevitable happened. Ram, along with Sita and Lakshman, left for the forest. When they were leaving, when they left, Dasarath could not bear this separation from Ram. He left his body. And this is the beginning of Ramayana. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gold Premanandu. Tomorrow I'll try also to continue. But as you can see, like, I can cover only a small portion of it. But what I would request you to please continue reading it. And not only read it to your children. Because they need it more than anyone else. Because you cannot imagine what kind of effect they will have. This narrations of glorious activities of Ramchandra will have on them. In Mahabharata, Krishna is not the principal character. The Pandavas are actually the principal character. But in Ramayana, Ramchandra is the principal character. And of course, Pandavas are glorious. They are ideal personalities. But Ramayana has a very, very special flavor. Ramchandra is Marjada Purushottam. He came to establish the Marjada of Dharma, Marjada of scriptures. And that's why it is very, very important that our children understand that and become indoctrinated with these ideals, with these principles. If you want to see your children with upright character, then allow them this opportunity. Let them follow Lord Ramchandra. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna's activities cannot be imitated. But Ramchandra, if you at all want to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imitate the activities of Ramchandra. He is the ideal personality. You can't get a more noble a character. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Briefly, I can invite some questions for a few minutes. If anybody has any question, please, you can ask. And if you don't have any question, then okay.
Maharaj, we all fall in the situation of conflict, and we always, there are people where we fall in the situation like there's mantra, and we are advised sometimes. How to identify our situation where when the person is going to try, how to deal with that situation?
I understand your point. My answer will be read Prabhupada's books. Then you will immediately able to identify who is Kaikeyi, who is Mantara, and who is Kaushala, who is Ram, who is Sita. Yes, in our day-to-day life we come across individuals like Kaikeyi. Fortunately nowadays, marrying more than one wife is not allowed. Otherwise the situation would have been much more critical. But the main point is that, you see, Krishna has given us a common sense. Plus Krishna has given us the instructions through the scriptures. So if we follow the scriptures and understand the purports of the scripture, then one thing we'll be able to do is to discriminate between good and evil. We'll be able to discriminate between right and wrong. And as a result of that, we'll naturally reject the evil and accept the good. Okay? Thank you. Yes?
We made a point yesterday that we don't see Vaishnavas, and that is kind of
we do not see
Vaishnavas, Vaishnav people.
Oh, in our temples. Okay.
And that is kind of on our part. That's like we are not doing our parts, that we are not doing the preaching, which is so effective. That is the right kind of diagnosis. What is the treatment, Maharaj? How should we cure this situation?
Go out and preach.
But, any practical kind of tip?
Yesterday Mr. Joshi made a proposal, a suggestion. I think that was quite a good one. That why doesn't everybody take it upon himself? That I will make it a point to make one Westerner, one American, into a Krishna conscious devotee of Krishna. Will it be impossible to do? Srila Prabhupada converted so many of them into Krishna devotees. Why can't we make at least one devotee? Right? So then at least there will be 50-50. There will be half Indians and half Westerners. Just take it upon yourself and try. Krishna will fulfill the desire. We simply have to try. It cannot be that difficult because they are also spirit souls. All we have to do is make them understand that he is not an American. He is a spirit soul. And doesn't every spirit soul need Krishna? Everybody needs Krishna. Now the question is how effectively we are going to present it to them. If we can do that, then yes, it will have its desired result. It's good that you brought it up. So once again I will request everybody, please take it upon yourself that I'm sure many of you all know so many Westerners, so many Americans. And try to convince at least one of them. Will it be so difficult? In your day-to-day life, I'm sure you're encountering with so many of them. Just make it a point to convince one of them. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Sai, thank our esteemed guest, His Holiness Bhakti Charan Maharaj, for giving and enlightening us. So these are the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. More you hear, more you get purified. It's like a Chetubar Pranavas, you know, your dirty things from the heart will go away in the internal flow of Godhead. So please hear these activities more and more. Maharaj will be here tomorrow again at 7:30 after evening arati. Also in the morning, Maharaj will be Bhagavatam class. So please come, bring your family. There is a nice feast, so please enjoy the feast. Thank all of you for coming and blessing. So please bless my granddaughter Mayuri, so she becomes Krishna conscious once again.